Case number 9477, Singular Wireless, east of U.S. Route 113, 2,100 feet south of Road 213, a special use exception to place a telecommunication tower.
I see since the last time I was here, you have a new microphone system. It's very nice.
We're excited.
Name and address.
Ed O'Mara, 200 North Warner Road, King of Prussia, PA, 19446.
Robert McKinnon, 2101 Tatnall Street, Wilmington, Delaware.
Cal Abed, 11101 Cranbrook Road, Richmond, Virginia.
I do.
Good evening, members of the board. Pam Scott here on behalf of Singular Wireless. We are here in connection with an application to erect a 150-foot-tall telecommunications monopole on a property that's located on Route 113, actually not too far from this building. As you know, as I've indicated when I've been here previously, Singular is an FCC licensed provider of personal communication services. We are here because we have a gap in our service area in this particular part of the county, and we need to be able to close that gap to provide seamless coverage to our customers in this part of Sussex County. The property in question is zoned AR1. It's about 15 acres in size. Singular will be meeting all of the requirements of your ordinance, section 194.2, in connection with the installation of this tower. And at this time, I'd like to ask the site engineer, Cal, to come forward to talk a little bit about the site itself. State your name for the record, please.
Cal Abed.
You have been retained by Singular to prepare the site plans for this property, is that correct?
Yes, I have.
And can you indicate, you have a set of the plans before the board. Can you describe what those plans show in terms of the location of the monopole?
Yes, ma'am. It is a typical communication site plan for a monopole. It does contain about 50 by 50 fenced area with a monopole about 150 feet high. It does meet all the setbacks requirement and the zoning requirements of Sussex County.
In fact, with respect to this particular tower, we exceed the setback requirements. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. The setback requirement is 50 feet, I believe, and we have 216 feet to the roads.
From Route 113?
Yes, ma'am.
We also have some additional, 349 feet from the northerly property line.
Correct. 393 from the north, 349 from the north, 393 from the east side, 245 from the south side.
And in connection with the installation of this monopole, will it be designed to accommodate at least two additional carriers?
As a matter of fact, I think they already accounted for four of them. And typically, these monopoles actually can co-locate five carriers.
And I think you indicated previously the area where the radio equipment will be installed will be fenced. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Be fenced area.
And we will be meeting all the federal and state requirements for purposes of obtaining permits. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what about the lighting requirement from the Sussex County Ordinance?
I believe it's 50 feet, every 50 feet on the monopole, and that will be done on this monopole, too.
Thank you. Want to come forward, Ed? Can you state your name for the record, please?
Ed O'Mara.
And by whom are you employed?
Singular Wireless.
In what capacity, please?
I'm a radio frequency design engineer, which means basically I'm in charge of designing a portion of the wireless network for Singular Wireless in the Philadelphia market. The part of the Philadelphia market that I'm responsible for includes the entire state of Delaware.
And why specifically does Singular need an additional monopole in this area?
There's a gap in coverage along Route 113, as shown here in the white area. The white area represents unreliable coverage. The blue area represents reliable coverage.
And what you're showing to the board is a map that you prepared, is that correct?
That is correct.
And the map shows essentially the areas of gap in coverage?
That's correct.
It also shows the other locations of other singular sites that this site would connect to, is that correct?
That is correct.
You want to indicate maybe briefly for the board where those other sites are located?
Sure. The other sites located here, as you can see, along Route 16, we have essentially two sites here, one very, very close to this building, the site that we're speaking of here. The proposed site is here in blue. The other sites are all in red, and are all red indicates that it's been activated for the purpose of this study.
And based on the calculations that you have done, are you able to determine that with this site on air, it will actually cover your gap in service?
Yes, actually, I have another plot, which is a model of how this site would fill the gap in coverage along Route 113 and surrounding neighborhoods in and around that area. As you can see, that it now has seamless, reliable coverage along Route 113.
What about the possibility, rather than building a new tower, that we co-locate on tall buildings or other towers in the area?
There are no structures in this area currently that would satisfy the needs.
So all the sites that you considered for this were raw land sites, is that correct?
That is correct.
And this particular location is ideal because it's in the center of the search ring, is that correct?
It is ideally located, yes.
We also prepared a health report for this site, did we not?
Yes, we did.
And I'm going to provide a copy of that to the board, but if you could indicate to the board the findings in terms of meeting the FCC limitations for RF exposure.
Sure, if the board was so inclined. There's a section called Summary of Findings, which happens to be on the first page, and there's a portion of a sentence in there that basically summarizes it. It says the radio frequency exposure levels would be on the order of at least 1,000 times less than the FCC limits at all locations of public access, so far below the maximum permissible exposure.
We're talking about 150-foot tall monopole, correct?
That is correct.
Is that the minimum height we're going to need in order to cover our gap in service?
Yes, there it is, as you know, as I'm sure you've heard in previous testimonies of this nature. There is some requirement for overlap, just a very small portion in which during that time a call can be handed from one facility to another facility. And this provides that minimum amount of overlap to enable reliable calls along Route 113.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. O'Mara? I'll submit to the board some photographs of the site. Bob, you want to come up? Could you state your name for the record, please?
Bob McKinnon.
And by whom are you employed?
I have my own real estate appraisal company, Appraisal Associates, Inc., located in Wilmington, Delaware.
And how long have you been a real estate appraiser?
For about 28 years.
Have you had occasion in your years of experience to look at the impact of telecommunications towers on property value?
Yes, I have.
And in connection with this particular matter, did you consider the impact of this tower on values in the area?
Well, I looked at, I did a study on a number of sites in New Castle County and also viewed this site.
And I believe the report you're referencing is this report, correct?
That's correct.
And did you come to, well, maybe if you go a little bit into your analysis of how you determined impact of the towers on property values?
Sure. There's basically a four-step methodology that I used in looking at the value situation, and there's a the first step is selection of tower sites for comparison. And I'm going to go through each of the steps. I'll be as brief as possible. I'll keep this certainly under 10 minutes just to keep it moving. There's two criteria for tower sites. The first is proximity to residential neighborhoods. There has to be enough development and sales in the immediate vicinity of the tower so you've got a solid database, enough data to analyze and draw some meaningful conclusions. And the second criteria is enough tower sites to get critical mass of data. You've got to, I felt you had to cover a variety of locations and a variety of price ranges in order to make sure there's enough data to show any patterns in the market and that, and again, to have enough data to draw reasonable conclusions from. In this case, in my study, I looked at eight tower sites, and the time frame from them was from the early to mid-1990s to the present. The price range of the houses surrounding the towers was from $100,000 to over $1 million. The lot sizes of the houses near the towers was from a quarter acre to over 2 acres on average, and they all consisted of single-family detached homes. And the tower sites ranged from 120 to 275-foot poles, and we looked at both latticework and monopole design poles. And these were selected because these neighborhoods were close enough to the towers so that if there was an impact on value as a result of the tower, there was enough data to show this. The second step is gathering data on sales of properties in the nearby neighborhood. There's really two ways to skin that cat. One is you can look at sales of properties, homes, or lots before the construction of tower, and then you can look at either a resale of the same property or a very similar property after the tower was built. And the second way to look at it, I felt, was looking at one, a sale of a property in close proximity to the tower or with a direct view where you'd see it right out your front door on your driveway or walking up your street versus another sale in the neighborhood that was well removed and didn't have this problem. Looked at 50 to 200 sales of houses and or lots for each of the tower sites that we looked at. And in total, over 1,000 sales were kind of the starting basis that we began our analysis with. The third step is narrowing that data to focus on sales of similar properties where the primary variable was any potential influence as a result of the presence of the tower. And in appraiser speak, this is called paired sales analysis or the paired sales method. And it's not, this is something that appraisers use from a day-to-day basis. It's taught in appraisal courses, and it's mentioned in all the appraisal textbooks on damages and basic appraisal theory. It's not some kind of cutting-edge theory that was developed by me or in conjunction only with a study. And all that is analyzing properties that are as similar as possible, with the exception of one characteristic to isolate that characteristic's impact on value, if it has any. And we studied properties out of this large database to find properties as similar as possible. We looked at, when we narrowed the database, I drove the neighborhoods, viewed the properties. The properties were photographed, and from that large database, I selected three pairs approximately from each of the neighborhoods. So we're going from a database of about 1,000 sales to focus on a little over 40 sales and 21 pairs of sales. The final step is analysis of the paired sales to see if there is an impact on value due to the presence of the tower. Now, before adjusting the sales, you've got raw data, and the spread in the sale prices was a variance of as much as 4% less that was paid for properties near the tower or ones which were sold after the tower But on the other hand, there was a variance of as much as 14% paid for properties near the tower, sold after the tower was built. So what I did is adjusted the sales for elements of comparison that the market was going to look at, everything other than the presence of the tower. I looked at elements of comparison such as the size of the house, size of the lot, the condition, garage facilities, the other variables that people looking at the houses would consider. And after adjustments for all factors except the presence of the tower, the spread in sale prices ranged from 0 to minus 4% less after the tower was built to 0 to plus 10% more after the tower was built. Now, in looking at 21 pairs of sales, six pairs showed a negative bias of 1 to 5% after the tower was built. Eight showed no bias whatsoever, or less than 1% either way. And seven pairs showed 1 to 10% more after construction of the tower. So we've got a really tight spread here, 10% or less negative or positive bias due to the tower. And 18 of the 21 pairs had a spread of 5% or less, and the data was distributed almost evenly.
In connection with the site that we're talking about, you had an opportunity to review the site, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And based on the analysis that you've done with other sites, do you have an opinion as to whether the location of a tower in the vicinity will have an adverse impact on property values?
Based on the data that I collected in my study, I didn't see anything so special or unique about this property's location that would indicate anything that there would be any diminution to the value of residential properties in a neighborhood near the tower as a result of the presence of the tower.
Okay. I have one question. This survey you did on homes and stuff, was this done in Sussex County?
This was done in New Castle County. It was just a study that was asked for me to be done in New Castle County.
So all these eight towers you looked at were done in New Castle County?
They were in New Castle County. That's right.
Thank you. That's all.
Were the towers all similar or the same as what we're proposing to erect on this site?
Well, there were lattice work and monopole towers, and a couple were 30 feet shorter, and some were as much as almost 100 feet higher. But what we did do is try to look at different neighborhoods in New Castle County, not just neighborhoods that were tight into the city of Wilmington or Newark. I tried to look at some neighborhoods where the houses were more spread out and people were looking to have more land, half-acre, acre lots, and even two-acre lots in some cases to try to get a wide spread of data.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes the testimony. Just as I said previously, our proposal meets all the requirements of your code. I think we've indicated that we do have a gap in our coverage area in this particular part of the county, and also that the impact of this tower on the neighborhood would be slim, if anything. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, are there any further questions from members of the board?
Nothing.
Excuse me. Hearing none. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? The record show there's one.
Two.
Two? I'm sorry, what was the other? Oh, two, I'm sorry. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant has shown that the request would not substantially affect adversely uses of adjacent neighboring properties. Therefore, I make a motion that we approve case number 9477.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills with a second by Mr. McCabe that we approve case number 9477. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case is approved.
Case number 9478, Regina Pruitt, Southwestern Road.